unmuted.
Good morning and welcome to the Sussex County Council meeting of August 29, 2023. First things, to approve the agenda, Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, members of council. At this time, I see no recommended changes to today's agenda.
Entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Hudson, second.
Second.
Mr. Schaefer, any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Aye, yes, motion carried. We had a copy of the minutes of August 15th. Any questions, corrections, additions? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Thank you, Mr. President. We have one letter, and it's from the Society of St. Andrew, thanking the council for a donation with helping with food distribution in the county. And that's all.
Thank you, sir. Any correspondence from council? Correspondence from council. Okay. Mr. Guy, am I signed up? Now it's time for public comment. The public has 3 minutes to speak to council. Anything we have any control of or interest in? There's three lights up here. When you come to speak, when you start, the green light comes on. When the amber light goes on, you got one that left. And when the red light comes on, you are done speaking. Paul Rieger.
Morning.
Morning. Turn the mic on. There you go. Thank you.
Basically, today is something that has been going for the last, I'd say the last 3 or 4 years. Before Mr. Kramer had passed away, before COVID had come in, and I never got to go forward with it. With all the discussion with planning and zoning and Board of Adjustment, with all the issues that I've brought forward over the years since I've had my issue, 10 years ago, and we had gone through that. When you go to a planning and zoning meeting and you watch it, you have a lot of people that go to the meetings and they're there for one of the hearings. You sit there and you watch them. A lot of them have the opinion that they get to come back to go in front of public comment or council, come back to the county council. When they don't, that's because planning and zoning just makes the decision and it's done with certain subdivisions and that go through and different things that the county does. So it's like, it's not fair to the residents of Sussex County and the property owners in a way, because they're under the assumption that it's going to come to county council. But you're having with code issues, you're talking about the clear cutting again, you're talking about other things that were all brought up during the comp plan, going through that. There always is a common issue. You talk about stuff, you go through it, you bury it. It's just a common thing. Say what's nice, sounds good, and it's gone. And it's done. And then I hear it come repeat it 5 years later. I sat on a planning board 30 years ago. And in the town, one of the mayor of the town council sat on the planning zone and the Board of Adjustment. They had their, it was just like a regular board where you would go to like your conservation district, soil conservation district, where one of you sit on that. My recommendation would be somehow come up, I don't know whether how to do it through the state, through the title, however it goes for the organization. But you should have it where one of the county council members is appointed to sit on the planning and zoning and the Board of Adjustment, not as voting members, but to be able to ask questions and supersede and then come back to the county. It's just like when you get ready to do the comp plan coming up in another couple of years, instead of having it 2 years done after it's supposed to be done, or however long it was supposed to get done, you could start preparing for it now and have everybody on the same page and understand. Because as long as I've been following this, I really do not believe that you really understand exactly what planning and zoning does by watching the meetings. I don't think any of you have spent the time to watch them, because it takes longer than just watching them for one or two meetings. Thank you.
Thanks, sir. Janet Lee DeGable.
Good morning, council members, council president, Mr. Moore, Mr. Lawson. My name is Janet Ledigabo. I live on Ron Polbridge Road in Milton. Been here before. I wanted to talk about two issues. The first, I'm a member of a couple of environmental groups, Sussex Preservation Coalition, Sussex Preservation Group, and along with SARGE and some other groups, we have more than 1,000 members as watchdogs for the developers destroying the land in Sussex County. Recently, there was an application for development. This parcel had gone through the process in 2021 and had withdrawn. There were known issues of contamination on this parcel from the PLUS report from DENREC. There was arsenic, lead, and antimony, which is a chemical in car batteries. This was a family parcel that had been in a farm that had been in the family three generations. So the dumping had started like in the 20s and 30s. As we start developing more west, because the coastal area is getting all bought now, we're going to find more of these dumping grounds. So the developer did something real tricky. He submitted a report from the environmental paid expert a day and a half before the hearing. So the environmental watchdog groups didn't have a chance to review it. Planning and Zoning Commission did not have a chance to review it. I sent that report to DENREC after the hearing closed, and DENREC made recommendations that this developer clean this parcel up before development. However, the hearing was closed, so that information from DENREC could not be submitted into the record. So now we have a parcel that's going to have chemicals on it that will be developed into homes with walking trails and playgrounds. I'm requesting that council change code right now that developers must have all paperwork in within 30 days of the hearing date so that the public and the commission and staff can review it. So all paperwork from developers in within 30 days, not a day and a half before hearing. Now I have 30 seconds left. The second thing I want to say is I had COVID the first week of July. COVID is still going around. I had to quarantine for 10 days. I really think you should bring callbacks in aloud for planning and zoning meeting. Limit them to 3 minutes, but please bring them back because some people are working, some people are sick, some people are elderly. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Aubrey, would you check online, please?
If anyone has joined via the conference line and would like to make public comment, dial 5-star. We have Yule Lee on the line. Yule, your line is now open. Please state your name and address for the record before making your comment.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Yule Lee, 22483 Ridge Circle, Lewis. I thank you for this opportunity to speak on the phone, especially because planning and zoning did away with the calling comments. I did plan to come in today, but I have been dealing with some respiratory ailment for over 3 weeks, and I still have bouts of coughing spells that exhaust me. I had fungal pneumonia 30 years ago, which took 3 months to get diagnosed, and then I had to take antifungal medicine for 6 months twice a day. It left me with scar tissues in my lung, which not only makes me susceptible to respiratory illnesses, but it also confuses the x-ray. I end up with a CAT scan whenever I have respiratory problems. This is one reason I have to stay away from crowds if there is any chance of respiratory illnesses spreading around. I tell you my personal problems because I am an example of people who may look healthy but have some hidden issues. So again, I appreciate this opportunity to speak on the phone and hope you communicate with planning and zoning commissioners to reinstate the phone-in comments. It's an inconvenience for you and for them to wait for 30-second delays, and then sometimes it's not easy to understand when the connection is not good. But for some people, this is the only way to express their opinions, especially after hearing the applicant's presentation of their proposal at the public hearing for the first time. One other thing I wanted to speak today is about the Delaware State Code Title IX, Chapter 69, the Quality of Life Act, Section 61, titled Information from State and Local Agencies and School District. Under B, toward the end, it reads, if the planning agency makes recommendations that are in conflict with the information supplied by the state and local agencies or local school districts, it must explain its reasons for doing so in writing. If planning and zoning approves developments in conflict with the information from the states, such as approving developments in the investment level four or out of play, does planning and zoning explain the reasons in writing? And if it does, shouldn't the information available to the public? Please look into Title 9, Chapter 69, Section 61. Thank you very much for this opportunity again, and you have a great day. Bye.
Thank you.
At this time, there is no one else on the line.
Mr. President, quick question for our administrator, if we have time.
We're going to close public comments first now. Okay. Go ahead. Ask your question. We're good. Ask your question.
We discussed yesterday that issue with, you know, information coming to planning and zoning after the public hearing is closed. And we want to address that today, or are we going to?
I can.
What's the plan? Are we going to review that more?
After you and I discussed that yesterday related to the application that was referenced today during public comment, I talked to the planning and zoning director and can confirm that information related to the environmental condition of the property has been reviewed by DENREC and will be a part of the preliminary site plan and final site plan review and stipulations related to the approvals. So it's not done yet is what I can say. We will take in information from DENREC related to the final site plan to make sure that it complies. And that should be known that that's the case in any land use application. If there are issues discovered during the site work, that the governing agencies, including DENREC, will be involved in that. So if there's remediation because of a discovered content, it'll happen.
In the potential other issues coming up other than environmental, is there a procedure where the public record could be amended or reopened if necessary?
Before any action is taken, yes. If something comes before the commission, it's called the chair whether or not they want to open up the record to bring information back in, and then it's done with a vote. That's a procedural question, and it really comes down to procedural and legal if they will open it back up.
So it's a judgment call at that point?
Yes.
Right. But this particular issue will be addressed?
Yes, it will.
Yes. Thanks.
You good? Mark Isaacs. Director of the Carvel Research Education Center. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay. All right. Well, as always, good morning, council members and administrative and legal representation. It's always a pleasure to stand in front of you today. This is the best part of a council meeting to me because we get to share the accolades that the University of Delaware Carvel Research and Education Center, located right here in Sussex County, how we spend the taxpayers' dollars and the impact that those dollars mean to agriculture and to our citizens of Sussex County. I want to go through a couple of things here for you, and then at the end, I've got a little video that I want to show you regarding one of our interns that the council funds. And then I'll be open for any questions that you may have on any of our expenditures. So the $169,049 that the council provides to us is really pivotal. And that's why the University of Delaware, you know, really wants to take an opportunity to thank the council. We get funding from federal, from Smith, Lever, and Hatch dollars that come through the federal government, significant funds through the state of Delaware. But the funds that the council provides is really directed to specific issues that are unique to Sussex County. And it's something that, as you all know, has a strong historical track record of providing some significant impacts within Sussex. So Sussex Extension is an amazing program. That is the outreach arm. The College of Ag serves three missions: teaching, research, and outreach or extension. And the council provides $57,594. And those extension programs really include 4-H youth development. So in Sussex, we have over 400 4-H members and over 160 4-H leaders that are volunteer leaders. Pretty huge. That youth program has significant impacts on training the citizenship and leaders for our county moving forward and for the state of Delaware and wherever. We also have an amazing volunteer master gardener program. There's 80 volunteer master gardeners, and the volunteer hours that those gardeners provide, if you put a dollar per hour value on that, is over $575,000 to the residents of Sussex County. And what they do is we train them on horticulture issues, lawn and garden issues, and then when the public calls in to have a question about, well, I don't have a hole in the bottom of my tomato or something, they can provide the answer, and it allows our staff to have a broader outreach effort. Those are just two unique examples. The other huge part of our county extension system is the fact that we have our county agents in 4-H, Family and Consumer Sciences, which is now Family Health and Well-Being. That program itself has tremendous impact on nutrition, on financial management, and on managing stress within the workplace, and has really expanded the last couple of years, you know, even into STEM education and connecting with 4-H. We also have our field research program, and something that's pretty unique about the Carville Center is we have all of our state extension specialists. That's in agronomy, which is field crops, fruits and vegetables specialist. We have a weed scientist, which is a weed expert. We have a plant pathologist, which is a plant disease expert, and an entomologist, which you all probably saw in the news, the spotted lanternfly, you know, that he's been actively involved in. The really cool thing about that is something that's unique to our agriculture experiment station. That doesn't happen across the country. So you've got county staff located and state specialists right within your county that most of the time are on main campuses. Okay, so that's something we're really proud of, something that I spoke to the congressional delegates last week about that. That's something unique to us and why some of the pieces of the Farm Bill are really important. The crops research that's done there is very visionary, where we're looking at technology and how that's being incorporated in today's production agriculture system to be able to increase the amount of food that we grow, but do it in an environmentally sound manner. So environmental stewardship is a very big part of that. Managing our water resources and the nutrients going in for our crop production, all of that is supported by the council funds. Something that's kind of unique to just share with the council, just in the first part of August, we had a company called ZCal, which is a California-based company that is working with a partnership with Purdue Agribusiness, Nutrien, and a company based in Missouri called Grow Alliance. And something that's really unique that I think the council should be aware of is we're doing actual soybean variety testing for this partnership because it's to elevate the oil and the protein content in the soybean. So that's a great nutritional value, and it's also great for our farmers in being able to generate a value added commodities. So there's an example of a direct connection, you know, to local industry and local farmers that we're partnering with, you know, for the variety testing part of that. When you think the Carville Research and Education Center, poultry, okay? Our Lasher Laboratory and the poultry research we're doing there is, quite frankly, second to none. You should be very proud that our laboratory is one of 57 National Animal Health Laboratory Certified Network Labs, which is a very rigorous process to do. We have to undergo basically semi-annual audits, and our staff is tested on the efficiency and capability of their testing procedures. We serve as the state's poultry diagnostic laboratory, so any poultry farm that goes to processing, they must submit samples to us before they go to processing for their poultry health and avian influenza. So just this last year, we did over 8,300 avian influenza tests, and the state of Delaware had two significant high-path avian influenza events. Thank goodness it wasn't in our what we call our poultry belt here, and but our lab was directly involved in testing that. Great partnership with Maryland. And something that's unique, too, is we're most of your other laboratories are connected within their departments of ag within their states. So this is University of Delaware lab, but we get significant funds from the state of Delaware, and we serve as their poultry diagnostic lab. The council provides, there's about $13,000 for that component. They provide $5,000 that we use to safety enhancement programs, training, anything to do with making sure that everything that we're doing at the experiment station there is meeting the OSHA requirements and being compliant with that. And then the one thing I really want to take an opportunity to thank the council on is the recent increase that you provided to support this greenhouse project. And this greenhouse project, just to share with the council, is pretty significant. So if you look out there at our greenhouse complex, it's a very antiquated facility. We have one plexiglass greenhouse that's very small, and then we have two poly greenhouses. We're conducting pest management research and breeding. Lima beans, as I'm sure you all know, that chickens and lima beans, our county is known to be number one in the entire country for baby limas. And we have a lima bean breeder there that's doing research for heat stress tolerance to lima beans to keep us number one, because that's why California lost that. They could not compete with growing that. This greenhouse facility is going to have a significant impact on our farmers and also on our agricultural industries. We have strong state support coupled now with the council, and we just finished, we have a private foundation that's donated a significant amount of money towards this project, and now we're looking, we've got architecture renderings to identify a major donor to move the project forward. So we greatly appreciate the council partnering with us and being a part of this this project, because it's going to have a monumental impact specific for agriculture. Then the last thing, the internship program. And this is something that I get jacked about every year because, you know, I've been with the university 37 years, and education is extremely important, but, you know, a lot of us feel very strongly that we got to get these students out of the classroom. We got to get them in some work-based learning environment, opportunities, teaching them some skill sets that even has particularly been sheltered during the COVID. And this young man is from Millsboro, Delaware, and he's a student at University of Delaware in the Ag and Natural Resource major, and we had him as a Sussex County horticultural intern. So this is going to give you a quick snapshot of what the funds that the council provides and the impact that it made on this man's young man's life.
Hi, my name is Daniel Tall. I'm a senior agriculture and natural resource major at the University of Delaware. I was able to work with Tracy Wooden, the horticultural extension agent, and I worked with the master gardener, so I was able to get a lot of entomology research, being able to work in the lab under the microscope, learning about different plants, diseases, how to take care of them, how to handle them, further knowledge of horticulture. I additionally was able to work out in the garden, helping maintain, working with the master gardeners. I took some site visits to homeowners, farms, different garden centers, just to sort of understand more about the growing aspects, the diseases that are happening this year. I presented at the ornamental short course in the beginning of the summer. I talked about the Asian jumping worm, a new invasive worm. I also helped set up the master gardener's open house. I got to work inside the office with the fabulous staff. They were very welcoming and allowed me to help them with their projects, their research, and really made me feel a part of the team. And it helped me push towards the agriculture education side of things and what I personally want to do in my own career. Something that I didn't really fully understand is how much planning goes into everything. On the communication side of things, I was trained by Michelle Wolfert using both the camera for your phone and also with a professional camera, how to film interviews professionally, events that I went to, and I was able to get that experience. I also worked with other interns to catalog what they were learning and take pictures. Additionally, I was able to work back over in the fields with the crepe myrtle bark scale with Professor Brian Kunkel doing research on the crepe myrtle bark scale. It was a really interesting opportunity because I've never really been able to go into the lab as much and actually focus on the microbial side of research, so I'm glad I was able to experience that. So once again, I would sincerely like to thank the Sussex County Council for giving me this opportunity. This internship really helped me focus on what type of career I wanted to go into, and it has helped me like it has countless other interns.
Okay, so again, can't thank you enough, and there's a great example of, you know, an impact to a young man that we would never have been able to do. The other thing the council should be very proud of, and I tell you this each year, is you were the start of this internship program. You know, you provided the seed funding for this. And since then, just interns working with me, we have done over 45 interns that have been specific to supporting agriculture. So it's something you should be very, very proud of. Now, not all of those, I only used county funds for the kids from Sussex County, but we've built some great connections with the industry. They are hiring, our local industries are hiring our students, and they're one of the things they're proud of is this internship opportunity and giving these students some great work-based learning experiences. So it wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for you all. So put a big feather in your cap, and you should be very proud because there's a direct impact right there on kids' futures. So I'd be happy to entertain any questions the council may have.
Any questions of council? Questions of council. As always, thank you. Thank you for all you do out there. And like you, I'm proud of the intern program. We started that thing from scratch.
Yep.
And the idea was to benefit local Sussex County kids to hopefully stay in the ag industry, and some of them are doing that.
Yep, absolutely.
So I think we've been successful, and we enjoy our partnership with you and all you're doing out there. And we all realize some might not like it, but ag is our number one industry, yep. And we'll make sure ag stays number one industry. So, Mark, thank you for all you do. We appreciate it.
Quick question, you're so fast in moving on.
Mr. Riley.
And you may or may not be prepared to answer this, really almost hesitate to ask the question, but there's been a proposal floated for 300-foot riparian buffers that apparently was put out there just because they want to generate discussion. It certainly has. I didn't know if you had any point of view on what impact something like that would have on farms in Sussex County.
That's an excellent question. And I've been on the periphery side of that, just being connected with some of the work that we do for managing crop nutrients. You know, the challenge in Sussex County with the ditching in the areas that are in close proximity to some of our production fields, anytime you incorporate a buffer like that, obviously it takes, you know, cropland out of production, which has a direct economic impact on that producer. You know, I can honestly tell you in the years that I've worked with producers, in particular since the Delaware Nutrient Management Commission came into play, our agriculture producers are really second to none when it comes to managing nutrients, so much so that we have other states coming in to see what we're doing. We've had the Illinois Soybean Association. We've had Missouri Soybean Association that have come to visit and looking at how the state of Delaware and our county is doing in trying to manage that delicate balance, right? Producing food and fiber and fuel for, you know, we're going to have to do it for 9.5 billion people in 2050. And we're not growing land, as you've heard from some of the comments, you know, earlier, right? The biggest challenge for us is maintaining that environmental stewardship and making sure that we're doing it, and that's where technology comes into play, being able to do that and a lot of the research we're doing on that. And we have to continue to recognize that for the industry to stay number one in the state of Delaware, it's got to be economically viable, right? And anything that moves that pendulum to the other way is can be a detriment to that. But I will tell you there's a lot right now that's already taking place. A lot of producers are doing this through voluntary efforts with best management practices.
Thanks.
Any more questions, Council? Mark, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all very much.
Have a good rest of your day. Thank you. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Mr. Isaacs, for being here. Thanks for the update. County Administrator's Report for August 29, 2023. Delaware State Police year-to-date activity report for July 2023 is attached, listing the number of violent crimes and property crime arrests, as well as total traffic charges and corresponding arrests. In addition, DUI and total vehicle crashes investigated are listed. In total, there were 190 troopers assigned to Sussex County for the month of July. Item two, per the attached Engineering Department fact sheet, Egret Shores Phase 2 construction record and Patriots Glen Phase 1 construction record received substantial completion effective August 11th and 18th, respectively. Item three, applications for the fiscal year 2024 Human Service Grant Program are now being accepted. The Human Service Grant Program provides grants to countywide nonprofit agencies for the purpose of enhancing health and human services, which contribute to a safe, healthy, and self-sufficient community. Funds provide grants that assist organizations with resources in support of programs or capital purchases. To be eligible for a grant, organizations must fill out an application, which is available on the county's website. The deadline for filing grant requests is Friday, September 29th. And last item, a reminder, Council will not meet on Tuesday, September 5th. The next regularly scheduled meeting is Tuesday, September 12th at 10 a.m. County offices will be closed Monday, September 4th for the Labor Day holiday. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Jennings.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of council. The item that I have is to move money, it's state money, allocated to the transportation centers, the senior centers. So as in the past, DART, a division of DelDOT, has allocated $796,868 for funding of transportation expenses for various senior centers in Sussex County. This amount is the same as last year. The county's responsibility is to approve a recommended funding amount for fiscal year 2024 as per state law. This process is an allocation, again, of state funds, not county funds, to various senior centers for transportation purposes. In your package, you have the allocation recommendation. Again, it has not changed. I have a motion for your consideration.
Please read your motion.
Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approve the allocation to various senior centers as presented.
Pleasure, Council. Motion, Mr. Schaefer, second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson, questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Thank you. Ms. Burlington, third quarter Shining Star Awards.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of council. I would like to announce and congratulate our third quarter Shining Star winners. With 25 submissions submitted, the Shining Star Committee selected four individuals, Jamie Marine, Nathan Spencer, Bob Kreitzer, and Jody Palmer. These gentlemen work in the Environmental Services Department. We have all of them but one that didn't make it this morning, and their managers, they're with us. So at this time, I would like to read their Shining Star submission.
Sure.
This was submitted by Mike Costello. On the afternoon of Friday, June 30th, the 4th of July holiday weekend, we became aware that several trucks which had earlier been ordered were available for pickup but not delivery. In order for the funding for trucks to be taken from FY23 budget amounts, we would need to take delivery this day. Brian Marvel recruited a willing team of staff to battle the holiday traffic and respond to Newcastle to pick up three vehicles. Jamie Marine, Nathan Spencer, Bob Kreitzer, and Jody Palmer took up the challenge and were able to return the vehicles to Sussex County so we did not lose the budgeted funds for FY23, which ended at midnight. Their assistance was greatly appreciated and saved over $120,000 from being taken from the FY24 approved budget. Thank you, team. So at this time, I would like to have everyone come up, receive their certificates, and Mr. President and Mr. Lawson, if you would come up for the picture, please.
Sure.
How about a round of applause, too, for them?
Come on in.
Scooch in.
Come on.
A little bit.
Mark Parker, come on down. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. President, council members. Got a couple items this morning for you. First one's pertaining to our ongoing T-hanger project that's under construction at our airport. You'll probably recall we awarded the site work for the T-hanger back in March as part of a direct competitive pricing structure, and it was actually represented as change order 3 on our A2111 project, which was our business park improvements project. ADEL was still administratively active on the project, so it was a good fit since they were low price. So overall, the project's going fairly well at this point. Building erection actually started a couple weeks ago. Folks may have seen it coming out of the ground if you've been down there recently. The goal remains, schedule-wise, to get substantial completion by early October in time for our annual visit from our Wings and Wheels compatriots. We did run across some issues with the finish-out concrete restoration, which is required around the exterior of the building slab when it was initially poured, and it results in an expanded scope in both site preparation as well as concrete work. The issues are bulleted in your memo. Essentially, they can be attributed to encountering unforeseen issues related to finished slab grade, which is critical for the building erection, condition and orientation of the existing concrete slabs and the joints. Most of the concrete out in that apron area dates back to the mid-70s, so we had some unknown and unforeseen conditions. It was also a little lack of plan clarity on the bid set regarding proper tie-in of the slabs, and that would be with dowel bars, tie bars, things of that nature. So at the request of the engineering department, ADEL Construction submitted pricing for the required changes in the concrete restoration. And at this point, the engineering department has reviewed ADEL's pricing, which includes additional work by their subcontractor performing the flat work, the concrete flat work, and recommends approval in the amount of $56,970.
No motion, sir.
Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that change order number 4 for contract A2111, Delaware Coastal Business Park Improvements, be approved in the amount of $56,970.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Hudson, second. Mr. Schaefer. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Aye, we have the motion carried. Next, sir.
I do want to add, we may be back in front of you shortly. We have have a meeting at 11:30 at the site. There's some outstanding comments from our fire marshal folks on our building submission. So there may be some slight changes that we have to make. We'll find out further when we meet with the head honchos at the fire marshal a little bit later this morning. Second item, actually presenting for Hans Medlars, our county engineer, in his absence, pertains to the proposed bond recall for the community Solitudes at White Creek. And just a little historical reference, believe it's all summarized in the memo. Back in September of 2019, the engineering department presented a list of subdivisions that have been inactive for a considerable amount of time. We had a long list at one point, had incomplete improvements, some of which constituted safety concerns for the residents that live in the community. The subdivision list was really generated in accordance with the updated closeout procedures that were part of our last Chapter 99 update. The changes were adopted in 2017, so it was a springboard from those Chapter 99 changes. The authorization by council in September 19 really kick-started the process by the department to send out official notifications to developers in connection with the unfinished communities, and also the process for security bond redemption with continued inaction, if that were to occur. The spreadsheet in your packet, I think it's the next page, kind of summarizes where we are as of today in the closeout process. We have made pretty good progress, picked up a lot of steam in the last couple years. I think the first couple years were sort of bogged down with our pandemic. Hopefully that's not coming back, but we have gotten a lot of these across the finish line. The Solitudes at White Creek, unfortunately missed the 2019 list, but it does check the box for all the criteria for our intended closeout proceedings. At present time, 119 lots have been sold in the community. The last building permit was issued in January of 21, and the last CO was granted in June of that year, so over 2 years ago. The four different agreements with the developer are also listed in the memo. Three of them pertain to the paving part of the project, which is really what's outstanding. The total amount of the three bonds associated with paving is over $900,000, so a pretty sizable amount. In our estimate, that should be more than sufficient to complete the outstanding street improvements. Basically, what it is the top coat has to go on, but because of the time lapse, there's some patching and base failure areas. So we're going to have to go in and cut and patch certain areas before we do the top. So rather than letting more time go by, having the pavement get in worse condition, this is top's on our list right now to get in there and get things done. The county engineer has made numerous outreach attempts to the developer, I think beginning in early spring. I've been part of that. At this point, those outreaches have been unanswered, and really the home construction's been complete for over 2 years, so we're recommending at this point that bond recall initiation be put on the table. Specifically, the engineering department recommends that a recall of bonds associated with developer agreement 623-2-3-4, and that a completion of the outstanding work be done under the department's general labor and equipment contract or another contracting mechanism that's in accordance with our purchasing and procurement policy.
Is that your motion, or is that?
It's not technically, but okay. It's okay. Close.
Any questions, Council?
I do, actually.
Mr. Riley?
I want to be clear. This is an example where the bond was posted. The developer or builder has failed to complete the work, and after numerous attempts to reach him, he's not responded. So we're essentially foreclosing on the bond and going to do the work for him. And I guess my question is, I mean, this is like a worst case scenario that where we have to step in and do it, in my opinion. And are there any sanctions against a builder or developer that does this going forward? I mean, do we take this into account when we're looking at applications for future work? Is, I guess, really what I'm asking.
Well, unfortunately, the tie to Solitudes is done. So once he's out of there, we have no power stick. Moving forward, I think it's I don't know if it becomes a formal sanction. It's certainly something that is in the mix in terms of our review and approval process, building permits, utility permits, things of that nature.
Yeah. And I realize you probably are not in a position to answer that question fully, but it might be more of a question for council. To me, it's unacceptable. And if we have somebody that's doing business that way, I'm not sure that that's the type of builder we want.
Councilman Riley, I would say this particular developer is not out there by himself. We've had a number in the same category, unfortunately, and it consumes our resources and time to rectify these things. Fortunately, unlike a couple others, we have the financial resources in which to do that, but we still have to spend our own, personal investment resources. I don't know, maybe this is a question for our county attorney, but legally, if another subdivision comes forward and, this particular developer is in the mix again and everything is in accordance with, our code in terms of submissions, permits, process, I don't know if there's a sanction opportunity with that, but it's certainly, I'll say this, there's a lot of communication that goes on, directly before the process even starts. And so that's something we would definitely.
Is there any net cost to the county through this process, or will the bond more than cover all of our expenses? I mean, considering staff's follow-up and management of this whole process, will the bond cover that, or is there a net cost to the taxpayers?
No, this will be a net cost zero to the taxpayers.
No cost to the county, in other words. The bond will cover it.
Aside from time investment and resources, which would be me.
Right.
But As far as dollars go, to the county and or the taxpayers, the bond amounts will be sufficient, should be sufficient, more than sufficient to cover the deficiencies. That's not always the case, but in this one, we feel it's going to be more than enough to cover what we need to do in there.
I'm glad we have the bond program in place. I think, you know, as an example, why it's so important. So,
and I think the other thing we look at is when these bonds were reduced, which logistically they typically are, as a developer phases through different processes, they ask for one or more bond reductions and we grant them. But that's another thing we look at very closely is when those come in, those requests to reduce bonds based on the work that's been completed, work that's been accepted, substantial completion, things of that nature, we evaluate very carefully whether we grant bond reduction, because we don't want to grant it to such a low level that this thing comes back and we only have, say, $50,000 and
right. It's
a $250,000 project. So that's another thing we look at as we go through each of the development processes.
Any more questions? You have a motion, sir?
Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that Sussex County Council approves the initiation of bond recalls associated with developer agreements 623-2, 623-3, and 623-4, and that the outstanding pavement work in the community be completed under a contracting mechanism with approval of the Finance Department.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Hudson, second. Sorry. Mr. Schaefer, questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Old business, Mr. Whitehouse.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of Council. We have three items of old business this morning. The first is conditional use number 2364, filed on behalf of Seaford Community Energy Initiative, LLC. County Council may remember this from the previous Council meeting of August 15th, where it is deferred for further consideration. This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a solar farm to be located on the east side of Conrail Road, which is Sussex County Route 546, approximately half a mile south of Hearns Pond Road.
Any questions of Council?
Yeah, I have a question.
Mr. Riley.
Can we quit calling these things solar farms and start calling them solar arrays or something else that doesn't seem to indicate that they're anything to do with agriculture?
It's a good question, actually. To ensure consistency, staff have actually started to call them solar farms just to ensure consistency.
Right.
But most applicants now call them community energy facilities, arrays, and I'm happy if Council preferred to see them labeled a certain way, we can certainly switch.
That's fine. It's just a pet peeve of mine, that's all.
But your point is well taken. They are very mechanical. And yes.
Any more questions to Council? Mr. Moore, read your title, please.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a solar farm to be located on a 26.72-acre portion of a certain parcel of land lying and being in Seaford 100, Sussex County, containing 40.97 acres, more or less, for the reasons given by planning zoning numbers 1 through 11, with conditions 12A through K.
I do have a proposed new condition I want to present. Hope someone will make the motion for me. New condition, I guess this would be L. The solar panels, solar farm, or solar array shall be designed using best efforts to site solar panels and equipment 200 feet from any dwelling on property of other ownership. Where physical on-site constraints are proven to exist, the Planning and Zoning Commission may approve a reduced separation, provided that separation is not reduced less than 180 feet. Is the motion I present?
I'll make that motion. Is that specific to this particular
yes.
application?
Yes.
Yes.
Motion, Mr. Riley. Second, Mr. Hudson.
Second.
Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer.
I vote yes, based on the...
this is just the amendment.
Just the amendment.
I vote yes on the amendment.
Mrs. Green.
Yes, to the
I'm sorry.
Amendment.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes on the amendment.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes on the amendment. Now then, Mr. Moore.
Thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance granting conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a solar farm to be located on a 26.72-acre portion of a certain parcel of land lying and being in Seaford 100, Sussex County, containing 49.97 acres, more or less, for the reasons given by planning zoning numbered 1 through 11, with conditions 12A through K as now amended by council to include L.
Any questions of council? We'll take the vote. It's in my district, so I get to go first for a change. With the planning and zoning's reasons and their conditions and a condition that we amended, I will vote yes based on the planning and zoning recommendation as amended. Mr. Schaefer.
I will vote yes based on the recommendation of planning and zoning with amendments as the conditions as amended.
Is Green. Mrs. Green.
I'll vote yes based on the recommendation from planning and zoning as amended today.
Hudson.
I also vote yes based on the reasons given by planning and zoning as amended.
Mr. Riley.
I too vote yes based on the reasons given by planning and zoning as amended.
Motion carried. Next, sir.
Thank you. Our next item is conditional use 2365 filed on behalf of Frankfurt Community Energy Initiative 2 LLC. County Council may also remember this from the public hearing that was held before Council at its meeting of August 15th of this year. This is a conditional use of land in a C1 general commercial district and an AR1 agricultural residential district for a solar farm to be located on the east side of DuPont Boulevard, which is Route 113, approximately 250 feet south of Lazy Lagoon Road, which is Sussex County Route 380.
Any question of council? Mr. Moore, please read the short title.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance granting conditional use of land in a C1 general commercial district and an AR1 agricultural residential district for a solar farm to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 42.95 acres, more or less, for the reasons given by planning and zoning numbered 1 through 11 with conditions A through L.
Pleasure, council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Hudson, second.
Second.
Mr. Riley. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Hudson.
In the last short period of time, we've had a lot of these solar arrays requested. And I think that depending on where the application is requested to go, we need to give a lot of scrutiny. And we've got to keep in mind ag is number one. So I think we need to be very, very careful about that. And where this one is very important to farmland. And I'm going to vote no.
Mr. Schaefer.
I vote no. I don't believe this is an appropriate location for this.
Mrs. Green.
Based on the testimony here this morning, I'm going to vote no.
Mr. Riley.
Based on the recommendation of planning and zoning, with conditions, I will vote yes.
I also, with planning and zoning recommendations and conditions, I will vote yes. Motion is denied. Next.
Our next item of all business is conditional use 2353 filed on behalf of Sussex CSG2 LLC. County Council may remember this from the public hearing held on June 6th of this year, after which it was deferred for further consideration. This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a solar farm to be located on a 14.64-acre portion of a certain parcel of land located in Dagsborough 100, specifically located on the south side of Gumtree Road, which is Sussex County Route 405.
Any questions of council? More, read short title, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance granting conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a solar farm to be located on a 14.64-acre portion of a certain parcel of land lying and being Dagsborough 100, Sussex County, containing 28.09 acres, more or less, for the reasons given at the hearing and reasons given by planning zoning 1 through 10 with conditions 11A through K.
Pleasure, council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Hudson, second.
Second.
Mr. Riley, questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Hudson.
As a minute ago, I just said that we need to be careful about what we're doing. And this particular piece of property is not right on the highway, right on 113. It makes a big difference, to the location of these locations. So I will vote yes based on the reasons given by planning and zoning.
Mr. Schaefer.
I will vote yes based on the recommendation of planning and zoning.
Mrs. Green.
I'm going to vote yes based on the recommendation of planning and zoning.
Mr. Riley.
I will too vote yes based on recommendations with the conditions from planning and zoning.
Based on P&Z's recommendation and conditions, I also vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir. Moving right along, grant request. Ms. Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. First grant request is Friends of Cape and Lopen State Park. They are requesting $2,050 for their Borrow a Bike program. There are no previous grants to this organization. Mr. Schaefer placed on the agenda.
Schaefer.
I would like to offer $1,500 from the Third District.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer. Second.
I'll second.
Mr. Hudson. To grant $1,500 from District 3 Council Mac account to the Friends of Cape and Open State Park for their Borrow a Bike program. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I will yes. Motion carried.
Okay. Next one is Rehoboth Concert Band is requesting $1,200 for their 12th concert season. Last grant received for this event was in the amount of $1,888. Mr. Schaefer placed on the agenda.
Mr. Schaefer.
I would like to offer $1,000 from the Third District Council account.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer. Second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson. To grant $1,000 from District 3 Council MAG account to the Rehoboth Concert Band for their 12th concert season. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
Okay, next one is Urban Youth Golf Program is requesting $1,625 for their Sussex County expansion. Last grant received for this program was in the amount of $750 for equipment from the Countywide Youth Program. Mr. Vincent placed on the agenda.
This does benefit all the students in the county.
Right, the expansion is Sussex Academy and the consortium, which covers the entire school, or the entire okay. county.
And you heard me say at the end of June, be careful on countywide youth grants. If somebody make the motion to grant $1,000 from a countywide youth grant and $625 from District 1 Council make.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer, second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson. To grant $1,000 from a countywide youth grant and $625 from a First District Council MAG grant to the Urban Youth Golf Program Association for their Sussex County expansion. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
And next one is Delaware Seaside Railroad Club. They're requesting $1,800 for their annual Georgetown Library holiday display. Last grant received for this program was in the amount of $500, which was $250 from Mr. Hudson and $250 from Mr. Riley. Mr. Hudson placed on the agenda.
Mr. Hudson.
I will grant $250,000 or $250, please.
What's that first number?
$250.
I'll second it with $250.
Okay, so $250 apiece?
Yeah.
Okay, motion, Mr. Hudson, second, Mr. Riley, to grant $500 to the Delaware Seaside Railroad Club Incorporated for their annual Georgetown Library holiday display, being $250 from District 4 Council MAC account and $250 from District 5 Council MAC account. Questions on a motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
Okay, next one is New Coverdale Outreach Mission is requesting $2,000 for their back-to-school supplies. Last grant received for this organization was the amount of $750 for their Needy Families at Christmas program, which was $250 for Mr. Vincent and $500 for Mr. Wilson. Mrs. Green placed on the agenda.
Mrs. Green.
I will grant $1,200.
Motion, Mrs. Green. Second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson to grant $1,200. From District 2 Council MAG account to the New Coverdale Outreach Mission Incorporated for back-to-school supplies. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
Okay. The last one is West Rehoboth Community Land Trust is requesting $4,000 for the low-income housing program. Last grant received for this program was in the amount of $3,500. Mr. Hudson placed on the agenda.
Mr. Hudson.
I would like to give $1,000. The West Rehoboth Community Land Trust.
And Mr. President, before any vote on this, Mr. Schaefer is on the board of the West Rehoboth Community Land Trust. As such, he and I had a discussion. He is recusing himself from the vote and nor will take part in any discussions.
Sure. I have a motion, Mr. Hudson, second.
Second.
Mr. Riley, grant $1,000 from District 4 Council Mag account to the West Rehoboth Community Land Trust for the low-income housing support. Questions on the motion? We're going to take the vote, Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Thank you, everybody. Mr. Moore, introduction of proposed zoning ordinances.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. The first one is an ordinance amend Chapter 115, Article 1, Roman numeral Section 115-4, definitions in quotations of the Code of Sussex County regarding yard front and yard rear of through lots, and Chapter 115, Section 115-183, side and rear yards. That's countywide. Are you?
And Mr. President, if I can assist with this, yes. Council may recognize this ordinance or much of it, that Council did introduce an ordinance and there was a presentation from staff earlier this year outlining how through lots operate and the ordinance is proposed to provide relief. I did bring some visuals in real quick to provide a very quick recap of that and to answer any questions you have. The reason for the reintroduction is that having looked at the ordinance and starting to prepare for public hearings before Planning and Zoning Commission and Council, staff have identified that the ordinance would benefit from an additional reference in the short title to Section 115.183. And the reason for that is that if the ordinance, and to recap through lots, that we very quickly prepared a sketch showing that a lot, if it's located between two roughly parallel streets and has frontages on both sides, the code says it has a front lot, front yard, which is the orange yard. But if it's located between two numbered roads, for example, or if it's in a subdivision and backs onto a numbered road, the code says it has an additional front yard because it's located on a through lot. And what the ordinance seeks to do is to provide relief in that green shaded areas. It's drafted at the moment to allow accessory structures like decks, screen porches, swimming pools, other detached sheds within that area, provided that they're no higher than 22 feet in height. And what this ordinance does, it states that would be permitted and that would not need a variance before the Board of Adjustment. But the additional reference to 115.183 is specifically to stop applicants taking a bit advantage of this ordinance, but also taking advantage of the small lots ordinance. And if Council may remember that an ordinance was adopted in 2018, 2019 to reduce those rear yard setbacks, and they could go as low as 5 feet. So what we didn't want to do is to grant a benefit to allow structures in this area, but then also simultaneously allow them to be 5 feet from the rear lot line. So that's essentially the thinking behind the additional text. So.
Someone introduces.
I'll introduce it.
Question. Okay. Is this the correct time to maybe ask a question about the ordinance?
No, once it's introduced, at that point, any discussion ends until the public hearing.
Scheduled until the public hearing, and then ask the question.
Yes.
Okay.
The next one is Mr. Schaefer's district, an ordinance amend comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to an A1-1 institutional district for a certain parcel of land lying among Lewis Rehoboth Hundred, Sussex County, containing 12.44 acres, more or less.
We'll introduce it.
The next one's in Mr. Riley's district, an ordinance grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district and a GR general residential district for a solar farm to be located on a portion of certain parcel of land lying among an Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 37.04 acres, more or less.
I'll introduce it.
The next one's in Mr. Vincent's district, an ordinance grant a conditional use of land in a GR general residential district for a solar farm on a certain parcel of land lying among in Little Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 53.891 acres, more or less.
I'll introduce it.
And the last one's in Mr. Hudson's district, an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an MR medium residential district for multifamily dwellings, 6 units, to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 0.614 acres, more or less.
I'll
I'll introduce it.
Trust introduces it.
That is all, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Council member comments. Council member comments.
I have a comment.
Mrs. Green.
The last time we had our meeting here, I had attempted for the record to clarify on this appointment for planning and zoning as it pertained to my district. For the record, my information I have is that this is the first time in history where another council member has appointed for another district. And that is the record. There have been other members that did not receive the three votes to move on or to be placed, but never has a council member actually nominated for another council district. Speaking for the people in my district, the way we look at it is that Councilman John Riley has two nominations on the board. They feel like where our voice has been, have our vote, we don't have our voice. And also I want to say to Councilman Riley is that when we take an oath of office, we swear to place the public interest above any special or personal interest. This nomination of Bob Mitchell, apparently him being voted down had to do with him getting involved in John Riley's reelection campaign. And it's a personal vendetta and vindictive toward myself and my nominee. That's all.
Anyone else?
Yes, Mr. President.
Mr. Riley.
I'm wondering how long we're going to have to endure this weekly diatribes, you know, about this. I did not appoint anybody to planning zoning. I made a nomination. The council voted to approve that nomination. That's the story. My no vote for Mr. Mitchell was based on the fact that he had expressed a point of view on development, particularly on the eastern side of the county, that was extreme variance to my point of view, where he supported a proposition to rezone Route 1 to high density on 1 mile on either side of Route 1 from Lewis to Milford, and he supported that. I don't support that. I will not vote to support a man and put him on planning zoning who supports that point of view. That's the end of that story. So I'm hoping that this will be the last we hear of this. The matter has been settled, and I don't understand why we have to keep revisiting it week after week.
Any more comments from council?
I do want to make a comment.
We don't need, I think we're not going to just back and forth up here, okay? I don't think that's very fair to the public.
False statement.
We're not going to debate back and forth on account of our comments, okay? I think it's fair to everybody. Anything else on the comments of council? Entertain a motion to executive session for land acquisition?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Hudson, second.
Second.
Mr. Riley, questions on a motion? We will take the vote. Mr. Schaefer? Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. We're now in executive session downstairs for